VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to the Christmas Eve edition of News West 2023. Yeah, I want the show.
Write this date up on your new 2024 calendar now. Time, 0900. Day, Saturday. Date, 10th of February. Place, Mandurah Bowling Club. Address, 89 Allnut Street, Mandurah. Just up the hill from the Mandurah Railway Station. Purpose, Pargfest Swap Meet. The Peel Amateur Radio Group Mega Raffle is on again now. Prizes will be drawn at the event on Saturday the 10th of February. Go to the Parg website at www.parg.org.au for info. Peter Bassett, Scarf, VK6PBS, Secretary, Peel, Amateur Radio Group, VK6ARG, VK6COM, VK6RMH.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750 or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Going to Dayton Hamvention in Ohio, USA has been on my bucket list for a decade or two. This year I needed to discuss a few things with Flex Radio and I wanted to expand the variety of products in the shop, so it seemed like the perfect chance to get those tasks done and also see what Dayton was about. Picking up some other work over there for another customer to help pay for the trip, as well as working for Flex while I was there, was icing on the cake, so there I was, ticking off one of my bucket list items. How to describe Dayton? 25 to 30,000 attendees, 157 vendors, including all the big radio manufacturers, including Kenwood, surprisingly, but also lots of the smaller vendors, such as Buddy Pole and Heil and the like. The look and feel of the event was not dissimilar to the Perth Royal Show, but only runs for 2.5 days instead of 10. There were food trucks and stands dotted around the event, one hall exclusively for use as a forum, four buildings for commercial exhibitors and a large paddock full of flea market car boot style sellers. In fact, looking at the facility in Xenia, where the Dayton Hamvention is now run, the Claremont Showgrounds would make a nicer location with similar facilities but probably more expensive. To give you an idea of the size of the market though, there are 762,000 ham licenses in the USA, with just under 130,000 of them living in Ohio and its bordering states. In Australia, we have 19,500 licenses, and I think about 2,000 of them are in WA. There's a lot you can do with a market that size that's likely not going to happen here with our current population of hams. Still, if you scale down our population, a similar attendance should be in the order of 500, or 1 in 4 hams. Not sure off the top of my head how that compares to, say, Hamfest, but it's probably an appropriate amount. I might add that the USA has around twice as many hams per capita than in Australia. I wonder why that is. Looking at the Wyong Field Day that I've attended a number of times, it was a pretty good scaled-down copy of Hamvention, given the size of our market. Wyong typically has an area for forums, an area for commercial vendors, areas for car boot sales, and a few options for food. Wyong has the advantage of a far larger potential audience than we have here in WA. Makes me wonder what could be done if our amateur population, or rather the target audience of an event, was bigger, what could we do? If we expanded the interest of an event to the recreational CB and HF sectors, it would probably be catering to a potential audience of around 5 times the amateur population, so might end up with an attendance of more than 1,000. This could possibly allow us to run a forum in a separate room. They just don't work otherwise, in my opinion. And the size of the market would attract more vendors. It would also bring a bunch of people with similar interests into contact with amateur radio, which would almost certainly bolster our ranks. The forums tied in with Hamfests have been tried to varying rates of success. I think Perth Tech is by far the best example of the forum idea, but they typically don't cater for the vendor or flea market crowd. NCRG and PARG have both tried the forum idea in various forms with limited success, but both, as well as Hargfest, do a great job for vendors and anyone else wanting to sell stuff. If we catered to a larger potential audience, i.e. a combined audience from amateur radio CB and the recreational HF sectors, we get more manufacturers lining up to be a part of the event, which would also benefit our community in terms of more variety of goods on sale, more sponsorship of events, better raffle prizes, and a larger variety of forum topics. This isn't a criticism of our local events. We have great events here in Perth. While NCRG Hamfest has always been the premier event, Hargfest and Pargfest have lately been giving them a big run for their money. This competition's great for all of us as hams attending the event and the clubs running the event having to compete for attendance. So, next club meeting, challenge the committee to look further afield, not only for the things to do at your event, but also the size of the audience you might cater for. Better still, get involved yourself. Think about how your event might be attractive to more vendors, which will in turn drive up attendance numbers and generate more income for your club. Well, thanks for listening again. This is Steve, AK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out when they can over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then, over time, getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers, who enjoy helping others to have a go, or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between, listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie.
Have you heard of RASA, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia? Well, listen in. There's a lot on offer. All being equal, the December edition of RASA's QTC magazine was published yesterday, and more about its contents shortly. Russ's main interest in amateur radio in Australia is to support the hobby by making representation to the regulator, the ACMA, and providing services and resources to the entire amateur radio community. And here's the clincher. It's all free. The only thing we sell are the QRM killer kits. Now back to QTC. Russa publishes the QTC magazine quarterly, and on significant occasions we publish an extra edition. The big ticket item in this QTC edition is, of course, the launch of the class license for amateur radio on February the 19th, coming up. There's been a lot of confusion about how the class license will be implemented and its impact on us, and in QTC there's a detailed explanation of all aspects of the changeover with text from the ACMA's bulletins and short comments from RASA. There's a lot more in QTC, items that will interest a variety of people. QTC is a true online magazine with on-screen page flipping, live links in the index and throughout the magazine. For those who prefer downloading a PDF, that's also available in that format. To access QTC magazine and all the other resources provided free to all amateurs by RASA, head on over to our website, vkradioamateurs.org. I'll say that again, vkradioamateurs.org. You got it? vkradioamateurs.org. And I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Hello, this is Dennis, VK6AKR for the WAVHF Group. Suffice to say that the year has flown past, Christmas Day tomorrow. As a club, we have achieved much throughout the year, testament to the devotion and skills of our members, both on the tools and behind the scenes in administration. On air, we have participated in the usual VHF-UHF field days, the RD, the John Moyle. Many new antennas and some new sites were explored in the process, but the field days especially were not as well supported here in VK6 as have been the case in past years. Let us work together throughout 2024 to boost participation. If you are a member of a club, prod your club management committee to take part. If you are not a club member, participate anyway. The RTTY sessions on 2 metres and 70 centimetres have proven popular and are a worthy addition to our kit bag of modes. During 2024, we'd like to expand into other higher bandwidth digital modes and hope that you'll join us in this pursuit. Thanks to our members, new and continuing, for their support of the club and each other throughout the year. Camaraderie is high, and by working together we achieve more than we'd be able to do single-handed. Some new antenna designs were trialled, generally with good success. And for anything that did not work, there are lessons to be learned. On behalf of the club, please enjoy a happy, safe and healthy Christmas and New Year, and hope to chat on air or face-to-face in 2024. Thanks to Clinton and the VK6 News team for keeping us well informed throughout 2023. Well done, guys. This is Dennis, VK6AKR, for the WAVHF Group.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Walking into your shack is often a joyous experience. You take a moment to smile at your setup and, at least mentally, rub your hands in glee, anticipating some fun. Well, that's how it is for me. But recently, it's been less of that and more of an audible groan at the accumulated cruft that makes it nigh on impossible to sit down, let alone achieve anything fun. It's not as bad as it could be. I'm forced to keep my station at least operational to host my weekly net. But if that wasn't there, it would have been overtaken by anything and everything finding a flat surface to put stuff on. It got to the point where I had to move some radio equipment off my desk just so I could pile more stuff onto it. So, on Tuesday, I finally had enough. It was a pretty normal day, waiting for others to get stuff done, deadlines be damned, but I took one look at the shack and snapped. This has happened before, and I suspect it will continue to happen throughout my life. But that day, I'd crossed the line. Before I share what I achieved, I should mention a couple of other things. If you've been here for a while, you'll know that I'm an unashamed computer geek. Software-defined radio, or SDR, appears to have been invented just for me. Embedded computers, digital modes, networking, data analytics, Linux, Docker, you name it, I'm there. Mind you, this isn't new. It's been true for nearly 40 years now, ever since I set foot into my high school computer lab, where I found myself looking at a bank of Apple II computers. Then I bought the first computer in my class, a Commodore VIC-20. Life was never quite the same. This to tell you just how much computing features in my day-to-day. I have a long-term plan to use embedded computers, like, for example, a Raspberry Pi, to essentially turn my analog Yaesu FT857D into a networked SDR, the idea being that I use my main computer to do the processing and the Pi to control the radio and feed the audio in and out across the network. I want to make it so that you can use any traditional SDR tool with such a radio, and, if I get it right, any other radio. For more context, I'm getting more and more deaf. I swear my SO is speaking softer each day, and hearing tests tell me that audio above 2 kHz is pretty much gone. I have been playing with audio signal processing with a view to tailoring the audio coming from my radio into something more audible to me. On Tuesday, I had an aha moment. I could keep waiting until I got all that done and then set up my shack just so, or I could embrace the analog nature of my gear and use the mixing desk I have to feed the audio through its onboard audio processing and at least improve my audio experience today rather than some nebulous future time. Finally, I purchased a pegboard some time ago for the specific purpose of strapping my coax switches to so I would not have to contend with coax all over my desk whilst trying to remember which switch did what when I finally had a moment to play. All this came together in a new version of my shack, albeit an alpha pre-release to be treated with extreme caution. If you break it, you get to keep both parts, and it will kill a kitten without notice. To get started, I removed all non-radio stuff from my desk, including half a dozen computers, a dozen patch leads and adapters left over from the Harmonix testing project. There were monitor cables, USB cables, a variety of power supplies, and a stray binder with empty pages. I found all the radio gear that I really wanted to have on my desk, placed it where I could actually use it, and figured out how to connect the audio output from each radio to the mixing desk, which also found a home. Then I jumped on the RF side of things. Getting started was the hardest part. I decided that it would make sense to split the pegboard in two, one half for HF, the other for VHF and UHF. I have two coax switches that I use as the entry point onto the board. They're each fed with an antenna coax and each have one port connected to the other. The idea being that during a thunderstorm, I can connect the two antennas to each other and isolate the rest of the shack. It won't protect against an actual direct hit, but all charge being built up should dissipate between the two antennas. Feel free to give me suggestions on how better to do this in a shack located on the second floor of a house in Australia. Note that the rules for grounding across the world are drastically different, so don't assume that your laws apply in Australia. The HF coax side has a strap-down bias T, which powers the SG237 antenna coupler that's outside. Then there's a switch so I can connect HF to a radio or to a beacon, which I also strap to the pegboard. On the VHF side, there's just a second coax switch to select between two radios, but only one is currently connected. I plan to strap my Pluto SDR to the other port. I powered everything up and couldn't trigger the local repeater. I got out my handheld and tried. That worked fine. I could even hear it on my main radio, but it wouldn't trigger. No SWR issues. I could hear the local broadcast stations, but still couldn't trigger the repeater. It took an embarrassingly long time to discover that I had managed to feed the HF antenna into the VHF-UHF side. The SWR was fine because it was triggering the SG-237. So, fun. On the audio side, I can now change the compression of a signal, change the low, mid, and high frequencies, and if I feel inclined, change the balance between my ears. Microphone is via the hand microphone for now. There's no cat control at the moment, and I still need to plumb in the push-to-talk, or PTT, foot pedal. I also need to move the pegboard so RF cables aren't dangling in the breeze. But overall, a massive improvement, and best of all, I turned on my radio, and it wasn't even Saturday morning. So, what's your excuse for procrastinating? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
Hey folks, it's Christmas Eve. How did that happen? It doesn't seem like that long ago that the gift wrapping was going into the recycling and we were eating Christmas leftovers. Yes, indeed, the year has relentlessly played out, but I'll save the New Year stuff for next week. This week it's ho ho ho. How many new radios can one fit under a Christmas tree, and will the spouse notice what you purchased on the credit card? But Christmas is more than that. Whatever your religious views or cultural background, Christmas is a time of bringing families and friends together for a day of festivity. We're so fortunate today that we can have live video chats with family and friends who live far away. We've arrived at that point in the span of my lifetime. Only a few people had a telephone when I was a kid, and keeping in touch with distant family was mostly by writing letters and sending Christmas cards in October so that they would get to the old country in time. On behalf of the team at WA Amateur Radio News, I wish you all the best for Christmas. And I'm Bob VK6, POP.
Wow, this year has gone by so fast. I can't believe it's Christmas tomorrow. I'd like to thank everyone for reading, watching, or tuning into this edition of News West. I'd also like to thank our many broadcasters, plus our excellent team of presenters and contributors each week. Please stay safe on the roads over the holiday break, and we hope you'll join us next week for the New Year's Eve edition of News West. And I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC.
Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.